All right, let's go. Ready? Let's learn some Torah. So, Rabbeinu Yona. Just kidding, just skipped it. Pirkei Avos, first of the Mishnah. Here we go, okay? Perek Revi'i, Mishnah Vav, Zion, depending on how you cut it. Okay, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, Kol hamachabed es haTorah, everyone who honors the Torah, gufo mechubot al habrios. His gufo, his body, is honored by other creations, by other people. Okay, other people honor him. That's, I guess, the idiom. Kol hamachal alas haTorah, anyone who desecrates the Torah, gufo mechulal al habrios. He will be desecrated by other people. Okay, one more time. Again, it's a short one. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kol hamachabed es haTorah, gufo mechubot al habrios. Kol hamachabed es haTorah, anyone who honors the Torah, his gufo mechubot al habrios. V'chol hamachal alas haTorah, anyone who desecrates the Torah, gufo mechulal al habrios. The end. Okay, so just that, basically one line. So before we learn Rabbeinu Yonah or go into anything, what are the questions that the Mefarshim are going to have to deal with in this Mishnah? All right, what are the basic questions that when you read Mefarshim, you're going to see that they're going to be grappling? Again, they don't often say, here's the question that I'm answering, right? But that's what they are. They're answering a question that they assume that you will have after reading this Mishnah, or that they want to make sure that you don't misunderstand about this Mishnah. Rabbeinu Yonah does that, you know, relatively frequently. You know, chas v'shalom, you shouldn't think it means this, it actually means this. So what are the questions that the Mefarshim are going to have to contend with in this Mishnah? Okay, so reading this, what are the questions that pop out at you?
What does your body have to do with if you honor Torah or not?
Awesome. Good. Thank you, Bracha. Right? Good. That's definitely one of the ones that we expect people are going to have something to say about. Why is there this relationship with gufo, right? It's actually a funny lashon, right? Gufo mechubot al habrios. His body is honored by other people. And what does that have to do with Torah? You honor Torah, so your body is honored by other people. Like, what's the relationship? What's going on there? Good. What else? What other questions? Kol mechubot al es haTorah, gufo mechubot al habrios. We call him a chal as a Torah, gufa mechulal al habrios.
I don't know if this is what it's going for, but I was thinking like what.
Ooh, you froze. You were thinking what?
Constitutes mechalel.
Good. Okay. Good. Fira, very good. Right.
I'm frozen.
Yeah, you froze, but I think I heard the end of it. What constitutes mechalel? Good. So that's the most basic question that we're actually going to see all Mefarshim jump on immediately, which is, what does this actually mean, right? Kol hamechabed, it's very important, these concepts of mechabed and mechalel. And again, they're contrasting each other, right? One of them, they're like foils, they're opposites. Mechabed and mechalel. What is mechabed and mechalel? What is this Mishnah actually telling us to do? Very good, Shira, right? That's where everyone's going to go first. What's the last... again, those were the three questions. I thought of at least three questions. I'm sure you guys can think of more, but there's still one important one that we haven't thought about. So what's the last question here? Kol hamachabed es haTorah gufo mechubot al habrios, v'kol hamachal es haTorah gufo mechulal al habrios. Can anyone think of another question on this?
What is honoring Torah mean?
Good. So what does honoring Torah mean, I think, is the same kinds of question that Shira was saying, right? Which is like, what does this actually mean? What is it like? What is it telling us to do? The last question I think is about like what mechanism is at play, right? You do something to the Torah, other people do it towards you. So again, what's at play here? Is it metaphysical, right? That like if I do something, Hashem is going to make something happen? Or is it more natural? Like this is telling us a natural consequence. If you do something, something else happens, and that's like a natural cause and effect. Or is it a metaphysical cause and effect? So again, the next question is like, what is the cause and effect that's happening here? What's that nature of that cause and effect? What's going on? Okay, so those are the three questions. Very good. That I think that Mefarshim are going to have to, that again, just our initial take of this Mishnah is that Mefarshim are going to contend with these. Okay, let's go to Rabbeinu Yonah because we always go to Rabbeinu Yonah. Here we go, right? And you tell me which question is he answering first? Okay, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kama Chabad Es haTorah Gufo Mechubot Al Habrios. Izehu Kavod haTorah. What is Kavod haTorah? Okay, so what question is he answering? Shira's, right? Shira's initial question. What are we talking about? What are our terms here? And here he goes. Shelo Yaniach Svarim Bekarka. You shouldn't leave Svarim on the floor. You shouldn't leave books of Torah on the floor. V'lo yeshiv b'safsal u'v'kisei shehim omdim sham kenegdem b'shava. And if you have, like, even if it's not on the floor, but you're sitting on a chair and you put your Sefer Torah on a chair, don't put a Sefer Torah on the chair so that you're sitting on an equal plane. Okay, so what's interesting about this answer? Right, period. And then he's going to go on to like the next thought. What's kind of interesting about this answer? It's very what?
Out of the box.
Out of the box.
I didn't think he would answer that question like that.
Good. How would you think that he would answer it, Eliana? Right? We're a little surprised. It's very technical, right? It's a very technical, practical answer. What is Kavod HaTorah? Kavod HaTorah is not leaving books on the floor or sitting on the same place. Like, don't sit on the couch with a book on the couch with you. Okay, it's very practical. It's very technical. So, Eliana, why is that surprising to you exactly? Why is it surprising?
Because you would think he would give a more, like, philosophical answer, not, like, something really practical and really detailed that people don't really pay attention to.
Exactly, Eliana, right? Because if I started this chabura, which I should have, by asking all of you guys, before we started reading Rabbeinu Yonah, what do you think Kavod HaTorah is? Which, like, I forgot. I had it in my notes. Ask them, and I didn't. Okay, so what do you think Kavod HaTorah is? But thank God Eliana called it out for us. Eliana, what do you think Kavod HaTorah is? If I asked you, what is Kavod HaTorah, what would you answer?
Definitely not what he answered.
Definitely not what he answered. Good. So who wants to volunteer how they conceptualize? If I said, we're going to learn a Mishnah about Kavod HaTorah, what do you think we're going to talk about? What would you say? What is Kavod HaTorah to you? What do you think it is?
Sorry, can you repeat his examples?
I can repeat his examples, yeah. His examples are this. Ezehu Kavod HaTorah. What is Kavod HaTorah? Shelo yaniach tzfarim bekarka. You shouldn't leave tzfarim on the floor. Velo yeshev besafsal ubekise shehim omdim sham kenegdam b'shava. You shouldn't sit on like a couch or a chair that is at the same like level as the tzfarim that you're leaving around. So even if you're not putting your tzfarim on the floor, but you're sitting on the couch, don't put the sefer on the couch with you. Period. Okay, and then he's going to go on. But again, that's a very technical answer. It's a very technical answer. And we're going to see not all Mefarshim answer like that. So good. So let's continue on, right, instead of stopping every time we have a question for too long. But like, again, if we were talking about Kavod HaTorah, I wish I was thinking about this without already having learned this Mishnah. But if you ask me, what is Kavod HaTorah? I would say like it's like an attitude of respect, that you respect the Torah and you realize that it's bigger than you and it's some big picture. Right, like again, we'd go into these, like Eliana said, these big concepts of Torah. Right? Rabbeinu Yonah is like uber, uber practical. So let's see. Maybe he's going to go on. He has a whole paragraph here. So let's see what he does from there. Okay? V'hamedamer al divrei ha'chored. It's a different nusach. Al divrei Torah u'mechabed osa v'eslom deha. So somebody who does this, who's mechabed Torah v'eslom deha. So now he adds something in, right? And people who learn Torah. You're mechabed Torah and you're mechabed people who learn Torah. What's he going to say? Shadavar yardua hu meharbe psukim. Right? It's clear from many different sources that we have to be mechabed Torah and people who learn Torah. And what's the logic behind it? Why is it? Hasvara. What's the logic? What's the reason that we are mechabed Torah? Shekol misha medaber to, or really, it's the, what's the reason that this mechanism happens in the Mishnah? Shekol misha medaber tov al hatovim val hachachamim. Anyone who speaks well, who speaks good of things that are good and of wise people, Shemuch zakimbo kihu tzadik. People assume that he also is a good and wise person. Okay, someone who speaks well of good and wise people and things, people assume that he himself is a good and wise person. V'chol hadan osam b'kaf chova. V'cholik b'maaseim lomar she'ina mechuvani. And anyone who, speaking about good and wise people, takes issue with them and talks about all the little things that they did that were wrong. And he doesn't, and he assumes that they're always in the wrong when they could be in the right. But if he's talking about people who are not good people, he's much faster to think of a reason why they're in the right. This person we assume is a bad person. Okay, again, where is he going with here? We're about to discuss. Ubeza lotis topic. And you don't have to doubt it. He's not saying like, oi, this is like a unfortunate heuristic of our minds. Rabbeinu Yonah is saying like, this is a legitimate heuristic that we use. We think that people who speak good of good are good. And people who speak bad of good are bad. And he says, lo tistap, it's like an incredible lesson. Lo tistapik, don't doubt yourself when you make this assumption about somebody else. Ki bezeh hadavar tucha lahavchin libos b'nei adam. Because in this thing, seeing how people talk about other people or about other ideas, that's how you could detect what's in the heart of another person. Upasuk shalem yesh lanu alzai. Does anyone know this offhand? Which pasuk says this explicitly? From Mishle. She'amar Shlomo Melech, alav shalom, she'ne'amar, Matzreif lakesef v'chor lazahav v'ish kefi mahalalo. Anyone hear that before? Ish kefi mahalalo? You know a man according to his praises. So again, the two ways to read that are, you know a man according to how people praise him, right? If you go to a bunch of funerals, depending on how people praise the person who died, you know different things about them. Or you could say, ish kefi mahalalo. You know a person according to what he praises. If he praises people who are good and right and righteous, you know he's a good and right and righteous person. If he praises people who are wicked and, you know, trying to cut down society, then you know that he has something inside of him that's wicked and trying to cut down society. You see this often if you have friends who give people brachos on their Hebrew birthday. I have one friend who always calls me and gives me a bracha on her Hebrew birthday, which is like really sweet. And you see who she is based on how she gives a bracha to another person, right? What she's giving the bracha to the other person, what she thinks is a bracha for that person to be, right? What she's praising in another person's life, that's her. That shows me, right? If it's a lot about Benam Makom, if it's a lot about Din, if it's a lot about, right? If it's a lot about Benam Lachaveiro, if it's a lot about compassion, if it's a lot about coming outside of yourself, right? Depending on what people say, if you ask them to give you a bracha, you should do this. Call your next three friends and ask them to give you a bracha, and you'll see they talk about things differently. And the way that they praise things reflects a lot of who they are and what their values are. So Rabbi Yonah says it's kosher. It's a kosher way of judging the character, so to speak, of another person. To judge it and to make assumptions about the person based on what they praise and how they speak about other people. Okay, and again, then he like goes into kind of parentheses. We'll skip that part where he's like, yeah, of course there's some hypocrites, but don't worry, Hashem takes care of them, because we say Hashem is bochen kalayos v'lev, right? Hashem yura l'leva, like Hashem sees the hearts of people, and that's people who are like, you know, who are achad b'peva, achad b'lev. Okay? Fine. The end of this part. So according to Rabbi Yonah here, kol mechubed as haTorah, gufo mechubed al habriyos. So he defines kibud Torah really in two ways, right? The first is that very technical way that you're respecting the actual Torah because you're not putting it on the ground and you're not putting it on your couch next to you. But he goes further, right? He doesn't only stop there. He takes that thought further and he says, yes, and somebody who has that amount of respect that they don't put Torah stuff on the floor or on the couch next to them, they also, you'll see in their language that they will respect people and things that are good and he said, Tov v'chacham. I love that. Someone's going to use that lashon. Tov v'chacham. They praise things that are Tov v'chacham. And therefore, other people's assumptions about them is that they're a Tov v'chacham. If you always hear people talking great things about people who are Tov v'chacham, you assume that they're a Tov v'chacham. So according to Rabbi Yonah, what's the mechanism here? Is it a natural one or is it a metaphysical one? Why is it that if you're Mechabe the Torah, people are Mechabe you? Natural or metaphysical? Raise your hand for natural. Raise your hand for metaphysical. And most of you guys have your cameras off, so you got out of the question. Good, so exactly, the two people who raised their hands were correct. It's a natural process, right? Rabbi Yonah isn't saying Hashem swoops in and makes sure that everybody is okay with you if you're Mechabe Torah, right? He's saying, if you're Mechabe Torah and you respect Torah, which you'll see in your actions by not putting the stuff on the floor and whatever, right? But you'll also see that respect in how you talk about things and who you are as a person, and people will respect that. I think it was Jeff. I'm not sure if it was Jeff or Rav Carrie Friedman. I think it was Rav Carrie Friedman. I'm not sure. Taught me the phrase. It was at some point I was doing some sort of internship, I guess, and I had to tell somebody that I was like, you know, keeping Shabbos, and I was worried about having to, or like Shomer Nagiyah, right? I was worried about like one of those conversations where it's like very awkward to tell somebody about like something that you're going to do that's not what they expect. And Rav Carrie said, like, you know, people respect people who respect their own values. And I love that phrase. People respect people who respect their own values. If you, and Jeff does it all the time. That's why I was thinking of Jeff. Like, all the time in work, Jeff's like, you don't have to be all apologetic about missing work for Yentif or for Shabbos. Like, you just tell them what your values are, and they always respect it. Like, people always respect people who just show up and speak their values out loud. You know? So that's Rachel Ibrahim. Hello. Welcome. So again, that's what Rabbi Yonah is saying a little bit, right? You speak about the Tov and the Chacham, and people respect you because you respect your own values, okay? But here he goes on. He's about to throw a wrench in this. Here he goes. Gufo mechubad al habrios. He continues. Min ha-shamayim, misayin sheyichabduhu habrios. From the heavens, Hashem will help to make sure that people are mechabed him. Achar shehu mechubad ha-Torah, ve'usa ha-dvarim sheyizkarnu. Okay? Sorry. Then he goes on. So what did he just throw in there? What did he just complicate? Hashem will make sure and help that you are, to make sure that you're mechubad from other people. So is it natural or metaphysical? Natural, raise your hand. Metaphysical, raise your hand. Good, Shira. Thanks for having the guts to do that. Exactly, right? Rabbeinu Yonah just threw a wrench in there. And he's like, actually, it's metaphysical. Actually, if you're mechubed to other people, then Hashem makes sure that other people are mechubed to you. So again, I think Rabbeinu Yonah is saying like it's kind of both. Because again, he uses that lotion of Messiah, right? Messiah sheyechabduhu abrios. Hashem helps it. Right? So it's sort of like, yeah, it's a natural mechanism, but it's a natural mechanism that Hashem makes sure works. Called, if you're mechubed Torah, then naturally, people's natural inclination is to respect people who respect their own values. But just in case you're like not sure that's actually going to work, we have this Mishnah. Hashem will also help it to make sure that it works. You shouldn't worry, right? Like Hashem makes sure that if you praise and if you respect the Tov v'Chacham, that other people will respect you. Okay? Uvachalu fehem amru, and in their reverse it says, kol ha-mechola ha-mechala l'satora gufa mechula lal habrios yoser al-ila. But here's how he goes. What do you expect him to say? Hold on a second. Right? According to what we defined Mechabed, how do you expect him to define Mechalel? What do you expect him to say? He just says, and the reverse is true with Mechalel. So what is he going to say is somebody who is Mechalel Asatora?
Maybe someone who doesn't show through their actions that they respect the Torah.
Good, Shira. Exactly. Perfect. Thank you so much, right? So either you'd expect him to say somebody who puts their sperm on the floor, and someone who puts their sperm on the couch, right? Or at least what Shira just said, right? At least he's going to give some technical explanation, like he did for Mechabed, that some technical way that you see through the person's actions that they're not Mechabed Torah. Okay, let's see if he does that. Good job being able to predict what he said and be able to be surprised, which is, again, where much of learning happens. Yuser al-ila, ha-megala panim batorah va-omer, lama hutzrach likaze va-timna haista pilegesh la-alifaz v'chayotze bo, ha-rezem mechal la-satorah. Was that technical? No. That's much more of an attitude, right? Somebody who like basically picks and chooses these pieces of Torah and then disparages them, right? Who picks out a piece of Torah that they don't understand, like why the Torah bothers to tell us that Timna is the Pilegesh of Eliphaz, right? Hamigala panim batorah va'omer lama hutzrach li kasev batimna haisa pilegesh Eliphaz v'chayotibo harayzam chalas haTorah. So this, again, goes to show you that while Rabbeinu Yonah, in the beginning, when we're talking about Mechabed es HaTorah, while he goes to a very technical piece, right, the crux of what he's talking about is less so that technicality. The crux of what he's talking about that differentiates Mechabed and Mechalel is not, again, only, so to speak, the practical, but it's the sentiment behind the practical.
Can you translate that part that you just read again? I missed it.
Sure. Hamagala panim batorah. Hamagala panim batorah means somebody who reveals different aspects of the Torah. Sometimes it's Megala panim batorah shelo kahalacha is the phrase that it's usually used in, which is that you're revealing stuff in the Torah that is not really what the Torah meant, right? And here again, it's like, it's sort of in that context, but it's also disparaging. Hamagala panim batorah, the omer, somebody who basically takes pieces out of the Torah and says, Lama hutzrach li kasev. Why does it have to say, Vatim, quote, Vatimna haisapi legash alifaz, which is in Bereshis Lamed Vav Yud Beis, right? This random piece of Torah that they don't understand why the Torah had to say that. And it's not a search for emes. It's not a search for the answer. It's a person who takes out those pieces and, like, disparages them, right? This reminds us of what character trait? If you had to give
Leitzanus.
Good, I yell it, right? Good. If you had to give this person a character assessment, you would rate them high on Leitzanus. Okay, so again, exactly what Eyal just said, right? It shows us that Rabbeinu Yonah, Mechabed versus Mechalel, is less so actually about the technicalities of what they're doing, right? And more about their attitude behind it. In the attitude differentiator is somebody who loves and who speaks about and who praises Tov v'chacham, right? Tova v'chachma, goodness and wisdom, versus somebody who's elates. Okay, but we're going to go more into, like, what actually is the attitude differentiator with Rav Hirsch. Just to tell you, I'm going to skip, okay? I'm going to skip. I was going to do Rashi and Rambam. And again, like, just a lot of them go into this technical definition of Mechabed, which is interesting, right? Like, that seems to be the question that is most prevalent to the other Mefarshim also, is what is Mechabed? I'm going to read you Rav Avadya Bat Shneur, though, who you'll see his... let's see what he says. I'm just going to read it inside and telling you what he says. Here it is inside. Kol Mechabed es HaTorah. Hadoresh, he's telling you what Mechabed is. So you're going to see his Mechabed is an exact contrast in a good way right? Like, is a foil to Rabbeinu Yonah's Mechalel. Here it goes. Hadorish hachaseros v'hayaseros Shabbat Torah. Somebody who seeks out the things that seem to be lacking and the things that seem to be extra, right? Both in terms of letters and in terms of words and in terms of concepts in the Torah. Umaratam al kol kotz v'kotz. And who finds a reason for every one of those things. Lomar she'in badavar lebatola. And who says that there's nothing in the Torah that is for naught. There's nothing that is futile. Ein lacha kavo Torah gadol mizeh. There's no kavod Torah that's greater than this. Interesting, right? That's a direct contrast to Rabbeinu Yonah's. You know me, I'm a chabed sefer Torah, I'm a chabed lom de Torah she'uskin ba, and somebody who gives actual divrei Torah, right? The sfarim of Torah, respect, and people who learn Torah respect, which is how a lot of the other mafreshim define kibud Torah. Kol elu bichlal ha'machabed es ha'Torah hein. That's part of this characteristic. That's part of this sentiment. And the sentiment is most important. Mechabed es ha'Torah on the one hand, of somebody who like seeks out and finds meaning and stimulation and learning in every piece of the Torah that they can and works off the assumption that nothing is superfluous versus that's mechabed, ein lecha mechabed Torah, ein lecha kivo Torah gadol mizeh. That's the highest level. Versus, again, Rabbeinu Yonah's, somebody who says, oh, come on, what is this all about? Uh-oh, my battery is running low. Okay, someone who's like, oh, come on, dismissive. So Rav Hirsch is going to spell out that attitude difference. What does that mean? What's the real, like, crux of the difference between somebody who has that capacity to be Mechabe Torah and somebody whose attitude toward Torah is Mechala Torah? Okay, here's Rav Hirsch. He's going to say two things. So I'm going to read it to you. You tell me the two things. He's going to talk about Kibud first. What are the two things that make up this attitude of Kavod Torah that is what this mission is talking about? He who accepts the Torah as the sole, supreme source of truth and of guiding human purpose will receive from the Torah in turn that spiritual stature and moral ennoblement which will earn him the honor and respect of his fellow men without his having to seek such recognition. Okay, that the second part he's going to talk about Mechala. Let me read it to you again. He who accepts, think about two things, okay? Think about how the twofold way that Rav Hirsch defined Kibud Torah, and think about whether or not Rav Hirsch is saying that this is a metaphysical mechanism or a natural mechanism. Again, what's your guess, knowing Rav Hirsch? Is it going to say it's a metaphysical mechanism or a natural mechanism? You have a guess, you'll see. Whatever
natural.
You're guessing. Natural. Good, exactly. Good, Eliana. Good, Ayala, right? That tends to be how Rav Hirsch reads these Mishnayos. Good. Ready? He who accepts, so again, confirm or disconfirm that assumption. He who accepts, or that expectation. He who accepts the Torah as the sole supreme source of truth and of guiding human purpose will receive from the Torah in turn that spiritual stature and moral ennoblement, which will earn him the honor and respect of his fellow men without his having to seek such recognition. So again, moral or metaphysical. I mean, natural or metaphysical? Natural, right? Our assumptions were confirmed. Good. Now, what are the two things that Rav Hirsch talks about attitude is like too little of a word, right? It's a way of being, it's a way of approaching Torah. What are the two ways that you approach Torah? There's two. There's two ingredients. One, he who accepts the Torah as the sole supreme source of truth. Two, and of guiding human purpose. What does it mean that you're mechabed the Torah, that you honor the Torah? That means that you have two basic assumptions when you read Torah or when you relate to Torah. The first is that it's objectively true. It's true and it's the sole source of real objective truth. And the second is that truth has something to do with you. That truth is trying to guide you. That truth is trying to tell you how to be a more moral and noble person. I was like, normal, right? Moral and noble person, right? That truth is trying to teach something to you. Those are the two attitudes. He who accepts the Torah as the sole supreme source of truth and of guiding human purpose. Once you have that attitude towards Torah, I'm opening up a Torah, and even if I read the pasuk that says, and Timna was the Pilegesh of Alifas, my assumptions are two things. The first is that Torah is truth. This is ultimate truth. And the second is, it's trying to teach me something. That pasuk is something to do with me. So it would be, like, really powerful if I had spent, like, you know, 45 minutes researching that pasuk. I could tell you, like, one of the mefarshim, like, you know, Musar Sfarim on it, which would have been, like, awesome. But I didn't think about doing that until right now. But you guys could do that. I mean, right? Look it up in Sepharia, et cetera, right? That's an assumption. And that's the differentiator. The mechula looks at it and it's like, what is this dumb pasuk doing in the Torah? So ridiculous. Why do I need to know that? And somebody who is mechabed is like, wow, this is truth. And that is supposed to be, that's trying to teach me something. What's it trying to teach me? And they go on that search. And that search is what makes you somebody who's respectable to the other people. That search is what refines you. And finding that, again, not only the search, right? But that assumption about Torah and that refinement that happens when you go through that process of assuming the Torah is true and it has something to do with you and going through the process and finding those answers and doing the work that it takes to make yourself in line with that, that's what makes you what are his words? Spiritual stature and moral ennoblement, right? What makes you a refined person. And the opposite is true. He who will deny the Torah the honor and respect due to it and will not permit the Torah to bring its spiritual and moral influence to bear upon his thoughts and endeavors will descend to a level of base worthlessness and will have to forego all hope of ever receiving the esteem and respect of others. Carrie, nice to see you. Mazel tov on finishing your classes.
It ran a little later, but now I'm back for good.
Oh, Baruch Hashem. One second, I'm just going to plug in my computer because I see it's like a little red X, which is like a little foreboding over here. Right, but if you work off of the assumption of a machala that you assume the Torah has nothing to tell you, and it right again, you see in how he defines the machala what he means by the machabe too. Right, it will not permit the Torah to bring its spiritual and moral influence to bear upon his thoughts and endeavors. So let me read that to you of what the machabe does do. The machabe permits the Torah to bring its spiritual and moral influence to bear upon his thoughts and endeavors. What a beautiful thing. Right? Not only do you learn the Torah, but you let it impact you. You let it speak to you and you let it change you. That makes you into a person that naturally other people will respect. You ever see these people? Like, I can think of two, three people who I see that you just see when you meet them that they're like these regal, refined humans because of how much time they spend like learning Torah and trying to be good people. Do you know them? Like Rabbi Perkal. Anyone know him in Israel? He has this like regal presence. Right? There's a few. There's a few people who I know who are like that. Not a lot, right? But again, you could see that. So that's like the natural mechanism at play here. Okay, good. The other assumption behind Rav Hirsch, there's also a very, very important assumption behind Rav Hirsch that he does not spell out, which is that the epitome of that spiritual ennoblement and moral refinement has to come from something outside of ourselves. If what makes sense to us and what we naturally find an affinity with and the moral guidance of only our own selves and our own lives, it's not enough to make us those spiritual people, right? Spirit, the true, again, what is moral ennoblement and spiritual stature, right? Spiritual and moral influence. Those things have to come from something outside of ourselves. And that's something that I think the secular world does not adhere to. But having an objective truth, right? Those are the two steps. The Torah is the objective truth, and it has something to say to me. Those are the two steps. And if there's no objective truth and it's just you, you're never going to make it. You're never going to make it. So again, that's also just like the underlying assumption behind what Rav Hirsch is saying and him spelling out mechubad and mechala. Good. So again, kol mechubad as a Torah. So again, interestingly, Bracha, right, the question that you brought up in the beginning, I haven't found anyone who talks about it. Not Rashi, not Rambam, not Rav Hirsch, not Rav Avadu Bartanura, not Rav Bini Yonah. I'm not sure why it's the word, like, gufo mechubad. I guess it's just like the euphemism. At least it's how it's being used here. But I'm sure there's somebody who talks about it. I just have not found them yet. But it's a good question. Okay, good. Questions, comments, queries, concerns, qualifications.